God has really blessed me. You know, he let me work in D.C., let me work with EIB in Hollywood, in Silicon Valley. And he's shown me through all those experiences that there is one problem and one solution, and that's why we do this show.
Welcome to A Disciple's View with Todd Herman.
When the God of the universe created the world, he didn't snap his finger or wink his eye. He spoke. God said, "Let there be light." Because we believe, we speak about the happenings in this world and remain mindful that our true home, our forever home, is with Jesus Christ and his kingdom. Welcome to A Disciple's View. Matthew 24:6 says, "And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you're not alarmed, for this must take place, but the end is not yet." There are not just rumors of war, there is war, and there is a spiritual war. And I wonder which one we should pay most attention to. The spiritual war has a defined ending. We know people who agree to be changed by the Lord Jesus, to be baptized, to be on mission with him, we know where we end up. We know who wins. It's not as easy with the war being fought in Israel, nor is it as easy, I think, for people to, well, really think about it. No, I mean, actually think about it. Because of what I do for a living, I talk about things happening to other people. Other people. Well, we have won the spiritual battle, but we are about to go through probably the hardest time I think this country has faced, maybe ever. Yes, I know about the Civil War and Vietnam. I didn't live through them. But here we are talking about things happening to other people. I pray that we will begin to think about what is about to happen to us. The phrase tipping point doesn't begin to explain where we're at. It doesn't even get near it. The gatherings on college campuses of kids who are screaming for the deaths of Jewish people should give us a strong hint that Voltaire was right when he said, "Those who can get you to believe absurdities can get you to commit atrocities." There was a chant I just heard. I didn't have time to pull the audio, and I don't think you need to hear it. I can just tell you what they said. They demand dead Jews on American campuses. That's not the speech of God. That's the speech of the enemy. There are crowds of people with that now in their hearts. When you are divorced from the vine of course, the true vine, when you're divorced from God's truth, well, anything can become, quote, your truth, and that should have given us a warning. I'm just speaking my truth. When I speak this way, and this is how I do feel called to speak, I also want to rely on the very word that I'm saying could have headed this off if more people relied on it. We are going to have not just a spiritual battle, for all things are spiritual. We're facing real and actual battles, and I will tell you why. The ruling from a judge against President Trump, Judge Tanya Chutkan, it's a huge heads up for what's to come. This is the gag order. We'll get to that. I will just tell you this. In her discussion, in the transcripts of her discussion with President Trump's attorneys and the prosecutors, she gives the game away in how she interacts with the prosecution. She's collegial and curious. She defers to them often. She doesn't interrupt. The minute that President Trump's attorneys begin to speak, she begins interrupting, arguing, challenging, accusing. But there was one key discussion, and she actually entertained this. She actually entertained declaring that President Trump is not allowed to use certain adjectives to describe Washington, D.C. She actually entertained the discussion of banning President Trump from saying that Washington, D.C. is filthy. He could say it has crime challenges, but not filthy. She actually entertained that idea. And this is where we are at. And there is a thing that kills a lot of people when they're in desperately dangerous situations. Want to know what it is? Be it in combat or be it facing an attack of some kind, a dangerous stranger's attaching you or attacking you, or you're about to be mugged, or if you are headed into battle. Even if you've practiced and you're headed into battle, there's one thing that kills most people. It's not tripping or falling. It's not fear. It's not cowardice. It's not running. It's not bad aim. It's not bad physical preparedness. Those things can contribute. Want to know what kills a huge number of people? Denial. This is not happening to me. No one would do this to me. I'm not about to be mugged. No one would do that. I'm not going to be attacked. This isn't happening. It's sort of a psychological protection mechanism. We are warned about what will come. We're in it. I'm not saying we're in the end times. No one is qualified to say that in my mind. Oh, yeah, the ruling against President Trump, we're going to get to that. Because there is a phrase in this ruling from this judge who is a clear leftist. And incidentally, she's already admitted she thinks Trump is guilty. Already. How? Well, when she said that in the January 6th trials, she was hearing the cases of people who formed an insurrection against this company, your country, you might call a coup attempt, for President Trump, because that's what they were told to do. She's already said, no, I think Trump's an insurrectionist. Is that political? Well, it might be. It's also very spiritual. I'm not here to say that President Trump is our spiritual savior. That's the Lord Jesus. Overwhelmed? No, honestly, are you overwhelmed? We talk about, or at least I do, I talk about things happening to other people. That's my job. So I try sometimes to shut my eyes. And I try to imagine being in an apartment in Gaza and hearing constant missile fire, guns. And I try to imagine being someone who doesn't particularly care for Hamas at all. I have to play the game because they rule Gaza. And then I imagine being in that apartment and I have children and they're saying, Daddy, are we going to die? I imagine on the Israeli side, this dad who hid his daughter under his work desk, gave her her toy gun and said, there are bad men here. You need to stay hidden. They cannot find you. I'm going to go find them. And I can't really imagine being a little girl because I've never been one. Those things are happening now. Deuteronomy 20, verse 1 through 4. When you go out to war against your enemies and see horses and chariots and an army larger than your own, you shall not be afraid of them, for the Lord your God is with you, who brought you out of the land in Egypt. And when you draw near to the battle, the priest shall come forward and speak to the people and shall say to them, Hear, O Israel, today you are drawing near for battle against your enemies. Let not your heart be faint. Do not let fear or panic or be in dread of them. For the Lord your God is he who goes with you to fight for you against your enemies to give you the victory. Addressing the Jewish people at a certain time in a certain context, and we know we are told to put on the armor of God. Because what's going on here, well, it's lawlessness. Romans 7, verse 21 through 25. So I find it to be a law that when I want to do the right thing, evil lies close at hand. For I delight in the law of God in my inner being, but I see my members, another law waging war against the law of my mind, making me captive to the law of sin that dwells in my members. Wretched man that I am. Who will deliver me from the body of death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then I myself serve the law of God with my mind, but with my flesh I serve the law of sin. Lots of sinning happening. Lots of murder and lawlessness. What we're about to go under or undergo is typified by this statement. In this order, this gag order, issued by an anti-Trump judge who's already said she thinks he's guilty, already indicated that, rather, she didn't say it, but she's indicated it. She has issued a gag order saying that President Trump is not allowed to comment on special counsel Jack Smith or his staff or court staff, and that may well mean the judge herself. And then there's this. Or potential witnesses in the case. Who exactly isn't a potential witness in the case about January 6th and leading an insurrection? Well, I mean, they'd never want to bring, let's say, Joe Biden to the stand, except he is a potential witness. President Trump said you stole the election, Mr. President Biden. Did you? The so-called VP, Kamala Harris, is a potential witness. Madam VP, where were you on January 6th? What did you observe? Nancy Pelosi. Anybody in the federal government's a potential witness during a presidential campaign. One candidate is likely to be charged with contempt of court for political speech. It's easy to hear this and think we're just talking about someone, like I just talked about with the incidents going on right now in Gaza. We are talking about ourselves. If they can do this to him, they can and they will do it to us. And so will we stop speaking the word? Or will we proclaim it more loudly? That's our duty. Of course, there are the world events and we're going to talk about them. Of course, we know. Figurehead Biden has gone over to Israel to do what only he can do, the great uniter that he is, the great visionary and foreign policy that he is. And while he was over there, figurehead Biden read this from a note card.
But the point is this, that I was deeply saddened and outraged by the explosion at the hospital in Gaza yesterday. And based on what I've seen, it appears as though it was done by the other team, not you. But there's a lot of people out there not sure. So we've got to overcome a lot of things.
The other team. I think he means Hamas, I think. I don't know if he knows that. I say sometimes on my podcast, you know that movie Taken? Have you seen that? You are going to be taken. This country is going to be taken. Question is, how do we respond? I didn't say it's going to fall. That's not what I said. Please don't hear what I didn't say. I said taken. How we respond in the next 6 months will determine what ultimately happens to this country. How we respond in the next 6 minutes and the next 6 minutes after that, spiritually, will determine whether we let God use us during this time to draw people to himself. Much more on the actual world stage news-wise next. This is A Disciple's View. I'm Todd Herman. Welcome back to Disciples View. I'm Todd Herman. That music, by the way, gosh, you want to hear a great story album or a concept album of redemption that's called Jordan the Comeback by a band called Prefab Sprouts. Really one guy named Patty McAloon. He's a very, very devout Catholic who worked in that world of Hollywood and had some hits you would recognize if we had time to talk about him. May have to get that out one day when we do Speaking Secular. That's an occasional feature we do. I'm looking for a home for it that you could count on it, where we use music and popular culture to communicate to people about the reality of God's kingdom. We, in the last segment, talked about something that's a very troubling thing I say sometimes to people, and that is that we will be taken. You know that movie where a dad knows that his daughter is being kidnapped? She's going to be kidnapped. He's on the phone with her as it's happening, and honey, you're going to be taken. And he gives her advice. I need every detail of the men who take anything you can see, their shoes, anything. Keep the phone on. It's a harrowing movie. It's the most scary thing I think that could happen to a parent is for their kid to be taken and kidnapped. So we will be taken. We know that we are now at a point where the cultural revolution has taken full hold. It has. When judges, as we just talked about in the last segment, fancy themselves to have the power to tell a presidential candidate exactly which adjectives he can use and not use. She didn't do that in her order, but she entertained it. When she has said in her order that President Trump cannot criticize potential witnesses in a case about accusing him of being the leader of an insurrection, she can charge him with perjury for criticizing anyone in the Biden administration at a senior level. Any one of them is a potential witness. I'm a potential witness. The New York Times tried to rope me into the disinformation scandal about January 6th. I'm a potential witness. New York Times reporter got in touch with me and said, hey, you said this is Antifa doing this. What is your proof? And he said, can we get on the phone? I said, no, I would never take a phone call with a New York Times reporter. I will respond in writing. Our response with the agreement that you will use my entire response verbatim or you won't use it at all. And you will say we didn't want to use his full response. So under those ground rules, I sent him a comment and I said, I didn't say what you accused me of saying. Exactly what I said as I was live on Rush Limbaugh's program, God Rest Rush, during January 6th. Exactly what I said was, these are the tactics of Antifa. Exactly what I said. Which tactics? Well, using barricades as ladders, specifically. And he'd asked where I got such information. I said, if you didn't watch the Antifa riots for the past 2.5 years in Portland, then I can't help you. I'm a potential witness. So the Cultural Revolution is in full steam. That's this world. It's very sad to see a place we're visiting go through this. This is a place we're visiting. Our kids will visit here longer. Well, not longer, but after we're gone, God willing, we want it to be a good place. So let's talk about that. Two different responses to one dynamic. We are being flooded and invaded. It's purposeful, it's not accidental, it's not bad policy, it's not a mistake, it's not stupidity. It is purposeful, as Barack Hussein Obama said, he intended to remake America from the ground up. Well, here we are, being remade. They're not just importing bodies of human beings, they're importing ideas and attitudes and expectations, and they are demonstrating behaviors. You get to break the law. You get money the moment we say, yes, you're a refugee. You get more money than people who paid into Social Security their entire lives. You are never going to be prosecuted. You can do whatever you want. There are districts and areas around this country where, though being an illegal immigrant, you can go vote to municipal elections. If you work hard, you can go vote in other elections. That's what they are demonstrating. Our response, I think, people who lean to the right politically, our response is secure the border. Well, they're not going to. We'll deport them. How? 8 million in the last since the figurehead Biden was installed. Can we eventually deport them? Yep. Yeah, it will take a long, long time, and it will be brutal. The Biden administration, the people who run Joe Biden, have ordered banks to not reject loan applications from illegal immigrants. So federally insured banks must aid and abet felony illegal entrance into our country. Have you ever filled out paperwork, well, in the past few years to buy a home? To refinance? How fun was that? Now you do not have to prove you're a citizen to get federally guaranteed loans at a federally backed bank, backed by our dollars. I don't know about you, but I was thinking about the Apostle Paul talking about his fleshly response to things. I'm angry, really angry. And I'm hopeful, really hopeful. Why? There's another response available. We have got to not operate in denial. Talked about this last segment. Denial gets people killed. Oh, I should get out of here. These guys are scary, but nah, I would never be in a store when there was a shooting. I think that guy's following me. I think he intends to kidnap me. No, that would never happen. Denial. They're not going to stop the culture revolution. We may stop it, and God can use it. Every illegal immigrant is also a potential congregant. We are called to chase the strays. We are called to abide in Christ and then to call others to abide, to bring them into the fold, and to chase the strays. Since these people are being imported to take this country down, because it's not just them, it's their ideas, their expectations, their attitudes about government, the modeling they're shown, that's eventually what Cloward Piven, the leftist plan to destroy republics, that's how it operates, flood the systems. What if we flood the churches? What if we flood the pews? What if we flood that zone? It'd be a really fascinating conversation with people. Hey, listen, I know you're here illegally. And to be frank with you, it offends me. Law breaking. And you know what? Just like you, I was created by God. You were too. In reality, you know, it's far more important. That's a more important fact to me, that you were created by God and that we didn't meet by chance. And here we are meeting. It's far more important to me that could we talk about souls, right? Because I think on that topic, we agree. Now, certainly there's going to be people who've snuck into the country who aren't interested in that at all because gosh knows there are cartel members. I guarantee we know Hamas is using the open border, as is Hezbollah. We know the Taliban did. We know that. And in the midst of that are going to be people who will say, yes, 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 I do not have a church home. We can be that home. Wouldn't that be just like God? That here's the figurehead and the people who run the figurehead and they're employing Cloward Piven. Wouldn't it be just like God to say, what did you do with all these sojourners? When they came, yes, they broke your laws. Yes, they violated Romans 13. What did you do? Oh, well, I posted a lot on social media and I voted and I let my friends know, my goodness, this is all very illegal. These are illegal immigrants. I was very loud. Did you welcome them? Because wouldn't it be like God to say, guys, you think Biden thinks he's doing this? Folks, I want these people in my churches. Oh, you know as well, and this is probably a terrible thought, but wouldn't that just anger Biden? and the people who run him more specifically, if we brought them into our churches, God's churches, Christ's church, and actually laid out the real word of God, the prohibitions against murder and therefore abortion, the fact that God created man and woman, not four or five genders, the facts about God's view of relationships and same-sex marriage, about the fact that, yeah, you know what, at church, you're a fellow creation of God. Sure, we'll share with you. You need this, the food pantry? Yeah. No, we're not going to check your immigration status. Oh, but yeah, getting a job, I don't hire illegal immigrants. Why would you make the difference? Because I'm not going to break the law, because Romans 13 says we are not to break the law. Does it mean I don't love you and can't love you? Wouldn't it be just like God to use something like this? Wouldn't it be just like God to use a moment like this to continue to reveal who figurehead Biden really is and what we're really facing? There's a reason that I've become very, very cautious about American use of force, and that is because our military has been taken at the top. There's a lot of very corrupted and I think spiritually captured people at the top of our military, and I don't think I need to explain a ton of examples. I can simply point to the fact that our military has invested a whole lot of time and money in forcing women to shower with men, and that should tell you what you need to know. It's a corrupt organization at the top. So I am very, very, very reticent to use American force, even in a case against the Hamas that I consider to be satanic evil, because I'm not certain this is our fight. I'm not certain we can sustain it. Not our men and women. In our military, they can fight anybody and win, but they're not in charge. Corrupt people are. Please, I beg you to remember this statement from figurehead Biden, because I assure you, his ignorance and arrogance has been and seen and been accounted for by our enemies.
Are the wars in Israel and Ukraine more than the United States can take on at the same time?
We're the United States of America, for God's sake. The most powerful nation in the history, not in the world, in the history of the world. The history of the world. We can take care of both of these and still maintain our overall international defense.
We are under attack right now. Institutionally, we had a top general willing to warn the Chinese Communist Party of a pending attack. We are under attack by you, Mr. Biden, and the people who run you. I don't think you know that, because sadly, and I do, I pray for Joe Biden. God crushed me one day on this program, and he made me spend about 45 minutes talking about empathy for that man. God made me do it. I haven't forgotten the lesson. So while the people who run Joe Biden demand Americans promise to pay for rescue from Israel, another guy, Ron DeSantis, helped arrange the rescue of 270 Americans, including 91 kids.
Today, more than 270 Americans evacuated from Israel are back in the United States, arriving in Tampa overnight on the first flight to return to the U.S. in an operation organized by Florida Governor Ron DeSantis.
It's very emotional to be here, to be away from all of that.
91 of the passengers arriving last night were children.
These kids are having to dodge rockets. These kids are having terrorists come after them. Not the way this world should be.
The Gobioffs spent much of the last week huddled in a Jerusalem bomb shelter with their toddler.
Can you describe the level of fear right now, the level of fear that you had while you were in Israel, and the level of fear in your community?
So, on a physical sense, we're very thankful that we're here. We are very blessed that we had a governor, we have a Hashem that got us here. I mean, God took care of everything. But on an emotional level, it is very overwhelming to be in this situation of where you have a fear of your life.
So much. It's so much heartbreak to leave everything so suddenly and everything you love. And I haven't gotten to say goodbye to a single person. I'm worried. You know, all of my friends are out there serving. My cousin is on the front lines in Gaza. You know?
I don't play that to glorify Ron DeSantis. I play that to remind us that, well used, our institutions can still do what they're supposed to do. well-led, our country, sure, we can handle some wars. We've been blessed by God with an enormous number of resources, an amount of resources. Sure, we can do that. And denial will get us killed. This is not, in my judgment, the time for arrogance, is it ever? Pride goeth before a fall. It is not the time to instinctively say, let's go attack Hamas. Let's go fight Iran. It is not the time for that. Is it ever the time to do that instinctively? Or is it time to drop to our knees and say, Father God, is there any other way? Is there any other way with these corrupt institutions? We have a presidential election coming up. First, the primary, with one of the candidates now forbidden from criticizing potential witnesses in a court case against him. It does not get more tyrannical than that, because anyone's a potential witness. We're witness to history. We're also told to be witnesses of the reality of God. There's a lot of ways for us to do this, and we haven't begun to touch the surface of them yet. We'll come back with the Tower of Babbling and a lot more thoughts, actually, on The Disciples' View. I'm Todd Herman. Appreciate you listening to Disciples View. I'm Todd Herman. We were just talking in the last segment about the fact that the people who run Joe Biden are not going to stop flooding the country with illegal immigrants, because they're flooding the country with their attitudes, their expectations of government, and the mere weight, the sheer weight on our system. It's a program called Cloud Pivot designed to break us. And we are unbreakable with God. So we talked about using this as God saying, hey, I'm providing you with a whole bunch of new fruit ripe for the picking into my church. Are you going to use this, or are you going to hang your heads and stomp your feet? I'm stomping my feet. I'm really angry to watch this cultural revolution work so well against us as we're taken. And I'm really excited if God really is using this, and why wouldn't he? For us to invite new congregants to our churches, because I'm here to tell you that the Islamists are doing this. And I can love people of the Muslim faith, and I can say, I think your faith is satanic. And I can love you. And I'll have the debate with you, and have it in a polite way, I would think, because you guys kind of think we're Satan sometimes. Maybe we can figure it out together. I'm going to bet on our side. There's a guy named Gabriel Nornha. He's a former State Department advisor to Iran. And he has made us aware of a place called the Islamic Education Center. It's in Houston, Texas. And he describes it as hiding under the guise of a religious institution. He says, to be clear, this is his words, it's not about Islam, it's about advancing Iranian propaganda. That's why they host an annual commemoration of Ruhollah Khomeini, the founder of the Iranian regime. And he provides proof, or as kids say, and it annoys me, it's an annoying saying to me, he provides the receipts. A July 2022 video shows hundreds of children singing an ode to Qassam Soleimani, an Iran supreme leader, with lyrics, I will be your soldier, I will be your martyr. It's not Tehran, it's Houston.
I will be your soldier, I'll be your supporter, be your biggest lover. I promise to become like Mahdi, is but of my own gate.
What kind of country invites recruiting members of the enemy's support party? A suicidal country, a spiritually lost country, a captured country. So we need to begin to treat churches as mission fields. Tomorrow, you're going to hear a great, great pieces of excerpts from an interview I did with a young man who calls himself Redeemed Zoomer. He has a plan, and it's working, to retake churches that have been captured by heretics, Christian churches. It's a beautiful plan. Our churches are mission fields, many of them. So is the Islamic community. Hey, if God can use this time, and he is, to create a record number of converts to the Lord Jesus out of the Middle East, we could do that here, but we first have to go into the neighborhoods and to meet people and to talk with people. So back to this topic of this place in Houston, this so-called educational center. These days, he writes, he's been, and at least since 2013, their websites has noted that there are parallel celebrations in Detroit and Dearborn and Chicago, Atlanta, Dallas, and Los Angeles. At these celebrations, you have Khomeini quote readings like this one.
May he sever the hands of those who wish to create dissension among the Muslim countries. Number three, all must know that the superpowers' aim in creating Israel does not end the occupation of Palestine. They plan, heaven forbid, to extend the faith of Palestine to all Arab countries. Number four, do not support Israel, this enemy of Islam and Arabs, for this listless viper will have no mercy on you, young or old, if it gets within your reach.
What kind of country does not screen people who come in ideologically? Well, that's against the First Amendment. No, it's not. It's not about speech. They can say whatever they like. It's about, are you on the team? Can you be a functioning team member, a contributing team member? Not if you hate this country. You can't be. You can only serve one master. This is from a presentation to Eagle Scouts. Yes, yes, this Islamic center in Houston is allowed to run Eagle and Boy Scout programs.
And despite these sanctions continuing on the country of Iran, we have not only seen success on a foreign scale, but also seen success on a domestic scale.
Allahu Akbar, Khatina Iran Haber, Ejjal
That's in Houston, Texas. So certainly, Islamists see America as a mission field. Do we see Houston as one? But it's a red city, is it? All the world's a mission field. On this program, we love to recognize the fact that God, even the God of sometimes war, the God who sees all, is also the God who invented laughter and the sense of humor. And we thank the Lord for placing the supposedly wise on tall towers of shaking sand with our feature called The Tower of Babbling.
You know about the biblical truth of the Tower of Babel. A Disciple's View presents...
And there's a lot of other... For example, the idea that we're, in terms of taxes, that they refuse to... For example, I was able to balance the budget and pass everything from the... The global warming bill, anyway.
The Tower of Babbling.
Oh, just thanks to the AFR team for putting together a variety of those. At least we have that. It's easy pickings in relation to figurehead Biden. Speaking of him, 60 Minutes' Scott Pelley said figurehead Biden had to wedge this interview into his busy schedule. Really? Biden had two events that day. A 10 a.m. briefing and a 4:30 meeting.
Rarely does a president confront so much peril. The catastrophe in Israel, the war in Ukraine, and no help from a paralyzed Congress. Late Thursday, we met President Biden at the White House. It had been a rough week, and we could see it on him. Mr. Biden will be 81 next month, and he has said that when he's tired, his lifelong stutter can creep back in. But he wedged us into his schedule to express his commitment to Israel. after the massacre of more than 1,000 civilians 8 days ago.
I'm not laughing at the slaughter of civilians. Obviously, that man's, quote, stutter was invented about 2 years ago to explain away his dementia. And Pelley speaks as if these things have just happened around him. They've happened since he was installed. Because our enemies know a weak and demented and mentally decrepit, corrupt figurehead when they see one. That's true. So some of Biden's young British comrades have taken up his political style, making themselves obviously unlikable. Stop Oil protesters bragged about stopping the awards for a celebration for a huge video gaming contest.
What's going on?
We are just Stop Oil, and we are demanding that the UK government immediately cease all new licensing for coal, oil, and gas.
They went to a video gaming conference to convince people to take their side by stopping the awards ceremony. By the way, all of them there had these devices with them called digital cameras and phones. And all of them are made with petroleum. All of them. Not to be outdone in babbling, students at Clemson held a protest this week over the fact that tampons were removed from the men's bathrooms.
Last month, the Clemson College Republicans called for tampon and sanitary product dispensers to be removed from a men's bathroom on campus.
Men are men, women are women. Of course, men cannot menstruate. So, of course, we spoke out against that. Of course, these people think the opposite, and that's why they're out here protesting us.
The dispensers were reportedly vandalized and removed from the bathroom within days.
Very quickly, those were ripped down. We want those reinstated, and we would love if they could be expanded across campus.
Some LGBTQ students are now asking the university to take action against the Clemson College Republicans.
We demand formal repercussions towards the Clemson College Republicans.
We have simply stood up for biological reality, and they reject what we believe, and so they want us to get removed from campus.
They're also requesting that the university's non-discrimination and anti-harassment policy be changed.
I don't stand with the vandalism, obviously. I do stand with truth, and that's a wrap for today's Tower of Babbling.
That was the Tower of Babbling.
America is a nation that can be defined in a single word. I was going to put him
on a disciple's view.
Thank you, AFR team. You know, the Bible tells us so much about peace. Matthew chapter 5, verse 9, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. We've talked about inviting the illegal immigrants into our churches, even as we fight to make sure that one day we can have a secured border. Peacemaking. 1 Peter 3, 10 through 11, for whoever desires to love life and see good days, let him keep his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. Let him turn away from evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it. Houston is a mission field. We need to enter it. All life is a mission field. Yep, there are wars going on and rumors of more. And there's a spiritual war. 1 Timothy 2, verse 1 through 2. First of all, then, I urge that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgivings be made for all people, for kings and all who are in high position, that we may lead a peaceful and quiet life, godly and dignified in every way. I can tell you, since God slapped me one day and made me spend 45 minutes on this program talking about and truly feeling empathy for the lost soul stored in this flesh called Joe Biden, I can legitimately pray for that man. Can you? It's not saying that to accuse. It's a legitimate question. Can you do as God has asked us to do, to pray for that figurehead? Because right now, he is kind of in charge. Romans chapter 5, verse 1, therefore, since we've been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Psalm 34, 14, turn away from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. And then there's this one. We had a long rumination about this during our life group. because a phrase in John 14:27 really, really stuck with me. The Lord Jesus speaking. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. The Lord Jesus said, peace I leave with you. Then he said, my peace I give to you. What was the source of the Lord Jesus's peace? What is his peace? Well, he was and is God. He was at that point fully human and fully God. His peace is he knows how it ends. His peace is he fears no one who can harm the flesh, only that who they who could harm the soul. Then he says, not as the world gives, do I give to you. The world has nothing to give, only to loan. We can't give a thing, we can loan it. On earth, thieves and moths can get at whatever we give. Whatever we give eventually expires. We could only loan. The Lord Jesus said, not as the world gives, do I give to you. He gives us his peace, his very essence of peace. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. The Lord Jesus is telling us, I have given you my personal peace that does not expire. Thieves and moths cannot get at it. It's not something that can be taken from you. So let not your hearts be troubled. Let us go into the world as what it is, a mission field that's about to get more and more ripe, even as it gets more and more scary. And let us not be afraid. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Because we believe, we speak, because God first loved us, we speak His Word. We walk in the path of Jesus to make disciples of all nations. Until you and I speak again tomorrow, God willing, may the peace of God that surpasses all understanding rest upon you and your family. This is the Disciples View. I'm Todd Herman. God be with you.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.